Thank you. This call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may now disconnect.
Thank you very much, Vince. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 16th of October 2013. On the call today, we have Michael Graham, Alan Greenberg, Olga Cavalli, Klaus Stoll, James Bodell, Sarah Longanore, Maureen Cubberley, Greg Shatton, Chuck Gomes, Wolf Knurban, Tom Barrett, Nick Steinbach, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Jeff Newman, and Philip Morano. Christina Rosette has also sent an email warning that she will be late joining the call today. We have apologies from J. Scott Evans, Tim Ruiz, Kieran Malachowville, Holly Rice, Anik Manskalesi, and Christopher Pack. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, Tim Cole, and myself, Matthew Thurgan. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Natalie.
Hi, Chuck. Becky Berhalter also here.
Oh, hi, Becky.
Hi.
Okay. And forgive my voice if it gets a little scratchy. I've been trying to get over a cold. But is there anybody on the call who's not in Adobe Connect?
This Becky, not yet.
You're going to be, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just want to know so that it, and again, if there is anybody in that situation, speak up if you're not in Adobe Connect. If you're in Adobe Connect, please raise your hand there, and that makes it easier to manage the queue. Okay, welcome to everyone. Hopefully you can see the agenda in Adobe Connect there, and let's jump right in to item two, which is an update of the policy implementation work plan sub-team that has been headed by one of our co-chairs, Michael Graham. And before I turn it over to Michael, let me say that I'm very thankful and very complimentary of the way this sub-team has taken off and is doing their task, and I think you'll feel the same way after you hear this update and get a chance to ask questions or make comments. That said, Michael, it's all yours.
Okay, can you hear me fine?
I can.
Okay. I just wanted to note before going forward the members of the sub-team that have worked on to include Holly Rage, Gerald Linden Orr, Alan Greenberg, Olivia Kwame, and Amr Al-Sadr, and then Alan Smith, Marika, Mary Wong, and Natalie Peregrine. And I think working together, and especially with the assistance of the master of the mind map, or mistress of the mind map, Marika, we've really made some progress. We've got the mind map on the screen, but before we turn to that, and I'm going to let Marika go through that for you all, because it is the working draft of where we are and what we think the work plan may become. I just wanted to go over a few things, and first off was the challenge that we faced as a sub-team, and that was first to digest the various materials, the charter, the policy and implementation materials from GNSO and ICANN, the public comments, the staff discussion proposal, and to take the mind map that we had worked on within this working group and organize it into a linear set of tasks, topics, and deliverables, utilizing the charter descriptions of them, to try and move from a very sort of mushy approach to things to one that's more linear, that would give us a reasonable and supportable work task and progress chart. So our approach was to divide the useful tasks and refer to applicable questions from the charter. We wanted to, in looking at a reasonable and putting together a proposed work plan, to do so in a way that would ensure that the working group, when we turn to the actual work, is going to focus on the task and not on either philosophical frolics and detours or on the contentious applications of discussions of policy versus implementation, but to provide the opportunities for fulsome discussion and debate along the line. So the strategy, which as Marika takes us through this mind map that we came up with, was to start with, one, the necessity of defining terms. As with this work group and anything going forward, we spent one session just discussing what meant and bringing all of our preconceptions of what was policy, what may be implementation, what has worked and not worked for ICANN into the discussion, and determine what we need to do at the onset is to define terms so that we're not debating their meaning, but we're accepting their meaning in our discussions. Then we identified the actual deliverables, again, from the charter fundamentally, but so that we would know what we were trying to work towards. Then try to determine what work may be required to develop and test those. This is probably where we stand right now. And again, in moving from the mind map to the actual work, when we put that schedule together, knowing that we need to include opportunities for public and community input and review, both through public comments at ICANN meetings and through presentations to the various ACs, SOs, and constituencies. And then finally, in our discussions, we, I think, agree that in order to move forward, there are certain topics and deliverables, even the big ones, where utilizing subgroups or subteams to address specific issues and prepare the deliverables for discussion by the work group as a whole would probably move us forward rather than having all 30 of the members voice up. So in order to put this strategy into force, we've come up with a draft mind map. And Marika, would you go through this? It's the one that's on the screen now, and it's wonderfully color-coded. And after Marika runs through it, I think if we could address any questions that anyone has about that.
Sure. Thanks, Michael. So this is Marika. So I'll take control for a second of the screen to take you through the mind map. This is also the document that was sent to you by email. So if you're having difficulty and maybe seeing it on the Adobe Connect, you may want to take that on the side. Or use your Zoom button that is at the bottom of the Adobe Connect pod, where you can do a plus and minus that will help you enlarge the screen or use the full screen mode. Maybe first looking here on the left-hand side is the index for the mind map. As Michael said, we've used some colors to try to indicate what the different things mean. So basically orange means where the sub-team is currently thinking that those are deliverables that are developed by the whole working group. And yellow are those where the working group thinks that they may be done by through means of a sub-team. And you also see some questions highlighted in green. Those are the tasks that we managed to identify from the charter itself. And then there are also some questions that are or tasks that are identified in blue, and those came up through either the sub-team discussions or also already part of some of the discussions that the broader working group had. So looking up there then at deliverable 0A, as we've called it, because I think both 0A and B are two of the deliverables where the sub-team at the moment feels that those are maybe the starting point for the working groups that will help set basically a level ground of understanding of where we're departing from, and that will help as well the work on the other deliverables that are further down on the list. So the first one is basically looking at developing working definitions of the main terms, and I think that was something that has already been suggested a couple of times in our earlier discussions. So basically making sure that we have a common understanding of what the terms we're using and what we mean by those terms, and that may also involve considering existing or other state-of-the-art terms. Again, I think for now we're really looking at working definitions at the end of the process, and the working group may come back to those and say, okay, maybe some of those we need to tweak, or we didn't get them exactly right. We may want to change them for inclusion in the report. But again, it's really as a starting point to make sure that we have a common understanding. Then deliverable 0B is basically charter question 1, which looks at the developing a set of principles that would underpin any GNSO policy and implementation-related discussions, taking into account existing GNSO operating procedures. You know that we've actually inserted here the word, in brackets, working. So basically the idea is here again that may be difficult at the starting point of this conversation to really set in stone what those principles should be. But at the same time, having a common understanding of the broad principles or the working principles that everyone can find themselves in may help, again, the work in for the next deliverables and making sure, again, that we start from a common understanding of where people feel that, you know, policy and implementation sits. Again, this is a deliverable where the working group is expected then to come back to at the end of its work to determine whether, indeed, those working principles were the right ones or, based on the work that has been done, further tweak or changes should be made. And you can see here on the right side, there were like three questions that were basically identified directly from the charter. What guidance do ICANN core values provide? What guidance do other ICANN core values provide that relate indirectly to policy development? And also there's some questions that were contained in the policy versus implementation draft framework that staff prepared. We propose there as well some principles that may be considered. And then we also suggested that the working group should consider the GNSO working group guidelines and the PDP manual to identify whether there are any existing principles that can be distilled from there, whether they're either explicitly or implicitly mentioned. And again, the proposed principles are in the staff discussion paper. So I'm basically moving further down in the mind map. Then we come with the two deliverables or the two categories of deliverables where the sub-team is currently thinking that those may be done through means of sub-teams. And I guess Michael will probably talk about that a bit more because, you know, it would be good to get working group input in there and, indeed, if there is support on using sub-teams as well, how that would function in practice. Would they run in parallel subsequently? How would feedback be done to the broader working group? So, again, those are things that we can maybe already start thinking about, and I guess those will come up in the discussion as we move forward. So the first deliverable, number one, is basically looking at this process for developing GTLD policy, perhaps in the form of policy guidance, including criteria for when it would be appropriate to use such a process instead of a GNSO PDP. And this is a charter question two in the working group charter. Basically, all the elements, not all the elements, the first two elements identified there, again, come from the conversations we had in the sub-team and as well that came out of some of the working group discussions. A starting point here may be to look at existing mechanisms that the GNSO has used to develop policy or advice outside of the PDP. There are a number of efforts that the working group or sub-team could look at, such as the SDI, SDI. We have a couple of non-PDP working groups that are currently ongoing. There's also a draft process that was included in the staff discussion paper that may be considered as a starting point or at least to look at. And then again, there are a couple of tasks that immediately flow from the charter that look at those issues. So again, looking at some of the questions that were identified in the staff discussion paper, lessons that can be learned from past experience. And again, there are a couple of specific questions that were identified in the charter. And as you'll note as well, the numbering behind those questions refer back to the place where they can be found in the charter. And then as well, what other options are available for policy and implementation efforts other than consensus policy or other, and what are the criteria for determining which should be used? And again, there's some specific questions there. Then the next category of deliverables, basically we try to group those together, or the sub-team tries to group those together that I think all closely relate to the implementation phase of the work. And there was a sense that maybe those three could actually be taken together and taken as a package worked on. So those are basically looking at a framework for implementation-related discussions associated with GNSO policy recommendations, which is Charter Question 3. Then the criteria to be used to determine when an action should be addressed by a policy process and when it should be considered implementation, which is currently Charter Question 4, and then Deliverable 4, which is guidance on how GNSO implementation review teams, as defined in the PDP manual, are expected to function and operate, which is currently Charter Question 5. And again, all the questions you see here in green on the right are directly taken from the charter. And again, you'll see some of them may be duplicate from other deliverables, but they specifically apply as well to these questions in view of the sub-team. And then again, as I said before, then at the end of the process, the idea would be then to come back to deliverable 5, which is to finalize that set of principles that would underpin any genus or policy implementation related discussion, and that's the current charter question one. And again, the approach would be to actually review what was done on the deliverable 0B, and then actually review the deliverables 1 to 4 and review how additional principles may be distilled or modified from these to be included in the final set of 4 principles. So I think that's the mind map in a nutshell. So Michael, I'll hand it back to you.
Okay. And what we use the mind map for, I think as you can recognize, is we were trying to connect the various dots that we had on the large mind map that we've been working on and the committee as a whole, again, so that there is some reasonable direction in the development of the work group and what needs to be done first before we can move on to the next step. One other thing that we worked on within the sub-team that the mind map is working towards was to look at work plans from other projects, working groups, see how they were organized, and try to put together a draft of the same for us. Unfortunately, the draft that I prepared, I only got out a half hour before this phone call, so I don't know if probably a lot of you haven't been able to open it yet or to see it. It is a work in progress where I've tried, leading up to the Buenos Aires meeting at least, to put in some real dates and real what is to be done, what the deliverable or the topic for discussion is, and who is going to handle it. And then beyond that, it includes, I see you've got it up there, once we get beyond December, where we have a finalized draft work plan, and I say draft work plan because we recognize as a subgroup and a subteam, and I think the entire work group needs to recognize as a basic underlying principle that anything that we schedule and any dates we set are set in mud and may change based on the work that we're doing or demands or issues that come up during the process. So we're very cognizant of that, and at the same time, in trying to use the ICANN meetings as mile markers, want to try to put together some not unreasonable target dates. So what I've done with this first page, again, is to actually put together what we should be able to accomplish prior to the meeting, including a draft working plan, which is basically this form itself, and being able to have that for discussion in Buenos Aires. After that, after December, however, I've only included at this point some of the most general types of deadlines. The first one being to work towards the draft of principles underlying, which is the deliverable 08, and again, that's working principles. And then moving to November a year hence towards draft deliverables actually from the sub-teams working on the deliverables 1 or deliverables 2 to 4. This does not include a lot of the actual process dates or what would go into the actual work. Some of that I would like to have filled in prior to the, I guess it's October 30th working group meeting, the next one, so that we can begin discussing that perhaps. So that's still under development, and we should have one, if not two, more meetings of the sub-team before then to actually fill in some of the blanks. The other document that I sent out, and this applies in part because some of this will have to do with how we set up this proposed work plan, is some directed questions for the face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires. And being someone who cannot stop typing once I begin, this is far more fulsome than we can hopefully deal with and have meaningful discussion. But these are some proposed questions that we might be able to handle, and that would be part of the working process, which we've sort of mapped out to be that deliverable 0A, which is developing the definitions by the time we leave Buenos Aires, having some of those in hand, and then also beginning to discuss some of the policy issues. So question 1 through 3, well, especially 1 and 3, would be important for the definitions. For the schedule, so this may not be something so much for the discussion in Buenos Aires, Chuck, as it may be for our next two meetings here, and that is looking at the various deliverables and what all goes into preparing those. And I encapsulate my understanding generally in question 12, which is asking, does this look realistic, that this would be the process for any particular draft deliverable. So the sub-team still has a number of things to complete before Buenos Aires. The draft policy and implementation working group work plan and timetable is of utmost importance, and we're stretching, and I don't know if you wanted to discuss this at all or get some ideas, Chuck, during today's meeting, but we do have a overriding general question of what is our understanding of the length of time that this project might call for. Again, recognizing that that may lengthen or shrink according to what is decided along the way, but just so that we have some hand on that so we can try to apply some dates to it. And that's pretty much where the sub-team is now. As I say, we've probably got two more meetings before the 30th and hope to be able to fill in some of the blanks of the draft policy and implementation, the draft work plan and timeline. But certainly anyone's comments, suggestions on either the mind map that we're working from or these other materials would be more than welcome.
Thank you very much, Michael and Marika. This is Chuck. We have a couple hands up, and we're going to get to those in just a second. In response to one of your questions, I think if we have time today, I think it would be good to talk a little bit about total time frame, but I want to caution people, don't jump to any conclusions in terms of how long this working group is going to take, because we're in the very early stages of looking at a possible schedule, and that will change as we get more and more information. So when we're doing that, don't get scared off to thinking you're going to be working on this for 5 years. Hopefully that will not be the case. But I think it would be good if we had that discussion. Now, what I think would be a good idea now is to let participants ask questions that they have on the mind map that was just gone over by Marika and by Michael, and then and also we'll entertain some comments after that. So, Michael and Marika, are you one of you comfortable of managing the queue? I don't think there's any reason for me to get in the middle unless you want me to.
Sure, I think we can probably handle it. And of course, it's sub team members who have their hands up first, which doesn't surprise me. Alan?
Thank you. As Michael just said, I am on the sub team, but I do have the caveat that I didn't attend this last week's meeting. So I may be a little bit out of sync with what the sub-team has done and is doing. I was one of the ones who pushed that for the very first part of the process being to come up with definitions we all agree on. And it's more important that we all are using terms in the same way, even, you know, even if we have to invent term, you know, scrap policy and implementation and call it, you know, XX and YY, to make sure that, that when we're talking, we all have the same understanding of what we're saying. And right now, for a whole bunch of reasons, I don't believe that's the case. You know, and for instance, as Jeff and others have suggested, it may well be that there are more appropriately three phases in policy, implementation, design, and execution, or call them what you want. And you know, one maybe there's four. I think we need some precise terms. Once we agree on those, I'm a little bit worried that we have laid out a plan using the undefined terms, and we may find that the plan itself should be changing. Not dissimilar from what Chuck said, that once we go along, we may find the schedule changes. Well, the detail of the work plan, I think, may change also. So I think we should have a mindset understanding that this is what we see now. But if we come up in the definition phase and redefine the terms we're using from just a binary policy and implementation, then the questions which use those terms may have to change also in the later phases. So I think we need to be understand that what we're doing now is as best we can do, given that we haven't started yet. But the whole structure may change as we end up with more preciseness. So thank you.
Yeah, this is Michael. Alan, I totally agree with you. I think for the purposes of the mind map and also for the work plan at this point, we've tried to keep, you know, whatever definition is the wording that was actually used in the charter and such. But I do agree that once we have set the definitions, and I think as part of that we'll be setting some of the goals as well, that that may affect not only how we speak of these things, but also the order in which things might have to get done or what gets done within them. So I appreciate that, and I thank you for that input. Cheryl?
Hi, thanks, Michael. Cheryl Langdonor here. And I'm perfectly in support of what Alan and you have said, just by the way. And indeed, these things are, as you quite rightly pointed out, written in mud as opposed to concrete. Perhaps we shouldn't write them in sand just yet, but we do need some frameworks to follow. The reason I put my hand up was actually to raise what I think might be a useful tool that I saw about 6 hours ago now, and I have just checked through the email, and I haven't got a copy of it, but I will forward it to our sub-team, Michael, as soon as it comes through on my other list. We had our meeting, it was our first meeting of the metrics and reporting design team, and at that, Barry Cobb presented the work plan for our activities in a new tool, and I've got to say I am blown away by this new tool. So I was really keen, if you agree, Michael, for Marika to track down from Barry. It was a piece of proprietal stuff because it had a copyright on it, and it would be very easy to as we make modifications and changes to your drafting that's been put out earlier today, to copy that across to the new tool. And I think you'll find that the work group as a whole will be able to see that it's a lot more flexible, and it lends itself to a great deal of updating and indeed job tracking. And I just wanted to try and get that as a little action item, if at least the sub team could have a look at the wonderful new work plan project management tool layout that Barry used this morning in that drafting team. It would be very handy. Thank you.
That would be great if we can make that connection and take a look at that. I don't know what the easiest way to be would be, but probably...
Marika's on to Barry now, so the magic will happen.
Yeah, if you can get that to Marika, I think that probably would be the best thing, and we can see how we can incorporate that. That would be excellent. Chuck?
Thanks. This is Chuck. I have a very simple question, and one that I probably should have figured out myself, but I haven't yet. there are some numbers used in parentheses in the green colored items, A1, B2, C3, etc. What do those mean? What do they refer to?
Well, I'd have to go back and look. I know that they derive from references to...
The charter questions.
You're right, questions in the charter. And in part, it was trying to track because as we were going through the deliverables, there are some questions, and the deliverables, of course, were separate from the questions as we had laid them out. In many cases, those questions would apply to more than one deliverable.
Mm.
So it was a way of just trying to track what those were and where they came from. And especially, I think, if you take a look at the far right side beside the two yellow deliverables, there's a large block that goes from A to E, and it's identical for both of those deliverables, as are the other ones. And it's just trying to tag in where, I could give you the exact system it was, but I'll have to look back. But that's basically what it was, just tying it to the charter so that we could identify that these are the same questions being applied in two different places.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. This is Chuck again. And you don't. I don't need the answers right now, but if we're going to leave those in there, we should either provide a little legend or make them more explicit, looking forward to when other people outside of the working group will look at this mind map. So that's just a suggestion. And then let me suggest that you continue and try and ask of the working group members the questions you have on for them and what feedback they have in terms of the direction you're going and so forth. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but this is a great opportunity to get some feedback from the full working group.
Right. Well, and frankly, for the purpose of first things going forward, I think probably the most important questions that I had within those directed questions, and that we could either answer now or have submitted or discuss, and that is identifying the terms that we need to define with specificity so that we can have meaningful discussion without discussing the terminology, so that we can accept these and understand what they mean when we say them. The terms that I have identified as are policy development, implementation, implement, principles, consensus. And these definitions can either be, from ICANN definitions or somewhere, wherever we pull them, we just need to agree on them. But I think the first thing is to identify any other terms at this point that we believe we would need to define. And then once we have this list, then we need to consider how, what these terms mean when we say them. So the first question would be, would anyone like to posit other terms based on this discussion, on looking at the materials, on your understanding of the charter that we need to define? And it's in part so we understand them and also in part so that we avoid the discussions that are extremely interesting and maybe contentious, but that are not carrying out the mission, which is to put together materials. Maureen, I see your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Mike. I think I'd like to see consensus policy added as well, because the word consensus has a meaning, but there's an already established understanding of consensus policy within the GNSO and the rest of ICANN. Would that make sense?
Yes, it would. And
okay.
That's a perfect example of something that we can probably go into ICANN materials and pull out the definition of that, and if that's acceptable, go forward with it.
Right, that's what I was hoping, and that would probably avoid some confusion over the word consensus itself. Thanks.
Yeah, Becky?
I just point out that there are we have to be very careful because consensus policy actually often gets used in two different ways, so we'll probably have to bring two definitions and figure out how to work through it.
In what term is that?
Consensus policy.
Okay. Right, and I hate to sound like a lawyer, but the first thing that would be done in any of these, and this is something we had to do in metrics, is to ensure that in our materials we include these definitions so that reading the materials going forward, to the extent possible, people leave their preconceptions at the door and accept, you know, what it's intended to be. Maureen, do you have your hand up again, or is it just still up there?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just taking the hand down. I agree with that, by the way. Leave the preconceptions at the door. Otherwise, it'll be a 20-year sentence.
Yeah.
I would murder that way.
I will say, I think Alan's book analysis of this and his emphasis on the need for the definitions came out of, I think, the first meeting of the sub-team in which we had spirited and very interesting and philosophical discussion of terms and realized that, you know, having those discussions is what we like to do, but to accomplish our goal, we need to avoid discussing those terms and actually accept what they are and go forward and try and deal with the larger question of policy and implementation structures, frameworks, and such. Wolf, you have your hand up?
Yes, Mike. Thank you. It's Wolf Norman speaking. Just a question regarding the organization of work. So I understand from the mind map that the different colors, they are indicating the different level of and different kind of working levels and working teams and groups. Is it correct that, for example, the yellow one would mean a working group, for example, for deliverable one and a separate one for deliverable two? Or is it, what is your intention with that? So to organize that and to, all with regard to chartering such groups?
Yes, Wolf, you are correct. That is what the yellow is to indicate. What we considered in discussing the work plan, and this was out of leadership questions as well, was whether or not some tasks might be better or more quickly and more efficiently handled by sub-teams rather than the work group as a whole. Now, what that means is that the nuts and bolts analysis, drafting and such would be handled by the sub-team, but then that sub-team would always bring it back to the work as a whole for, again, for review, revision, and discussion. But our thought was that, especially with a group that's the size of ours, if all 30 are involved, that may actually hinder getting some deliverables prepared that can be the basis for preparing the final draft. I will note that one of the questions that I have as a directed question from Buenos Aires actually does have to do with the sub-teams, and in reviewing this, whether or not there were other types of divisions that might be appropriate. And, of course, this is only beginning now. As any of these deliverables is approached by the working group or by sub-teams, it may become apparent that certain tasks need to be carried out, and generally those are carried out by individuals, and they'll bring it back to the work group or sub team, and in some cases that may be a separate sub team. But what we wanted to do with this proposed working plan is to acknowledge and introduce the idea that we may find efficiencies in utilizing sub-team type of structures and then have that team bring back their deliverables to the working group for the final analysis.
Thanks, yeah.
Marika, you have your hand up?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to add to what you said in the response to Wolf's question, because I think that's one of the things we really would like, or the sub-team would really like to get feedback on from the broader working group. I think, first of all, do you think that it would be indeed helpful to carry out some of the tasks or some of these deliverables through the use of sub-teams? And if yes, how would that work? For example, for the deliverables 1 and 2 to 4, would that be two separate sub-teams that would work in parallel? Should it be two sub-teams that would work, subsequently? One first finishes its work before the other one finishes. Would they work in an altered way? Because I think questions that you would need to take into account, first of all, I think it's a resource question. How many working group members are able to serve on the sub-teams, and, would you be able to serve on more than one? How much time would you have available to participate in this, and that would as well help define the overall work plan and timeline for those tasks, of course. And then, of course, there's also the question, how does the linking back with the working group work? And I think there, several of you have participated in other working group efforts where we've had sub-teams, and some of them have been very successful, and other less. There have been some efforts where a sub-team went away with really a lot of work and then came back to the working group, and the working group would go, what are you thinking? We don't like this, and would throw it out, and where the whole sub-team would be completely disillusioned and say, we'll never do this again. And then we've also had other efforts where we had sub-teams where actually hardly any work would get done in the sub-team. No work would be done in between because people did sign up for it, but there was just not enough resource or time available to actually get substantive work done. And actually, in the end, after a couple of weeks trying with the sub-teams, it actually would go back to the overall working group. So I think that's one of the items that would really need some significant consideration by the overall working group in how to go about that to make sure that there's a structure in place that would get us to deliver what we set out to do. So I think having feedback on especially on those items would really help the sub-team prepare the work plan, hopefully for adoption in Buenos Aires, because, of course, that determines to a large extent as well the timeline going forward and how to map out the different activities over the next couple of months.
Right, and Walter again. And I think the very end there is the most important thing in a way that you just said, Marika, and that is that we can really only project out a couple of months in what will actually be done with an eye to the big picture. And I know, I think yesterday, the other day we spoke when we had our leadership call, one thing that we might propose for if we utilized sub-teams would be to ensure that at least one member of leadership was on each of those, not as a leader, but as a member, and also as being able to direct the team if it looked like it was getting off course from what the group as a whole, our understanding of that direction is. I'll also point out, and this would be something for consideration, this is one approach to the working plan. The basis for this is focusing on deliverables. Another potential approach, and it might actually be a parallel approach, is to focus on answering the questions. The one downside of having the same questions relevant to the work of two different sub-teams is that those sub-teams may come up with different and competing answers that once we bring the teams back together again, we find out they are, in fact, speaking a different language. So some of those green, the last questions on the far right, might well be the subject of the entire working group answering in our regular meetings and exploring those, and based on those answers, feeding those answers back to the sub-teams for their application to come up with their deliverables. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I put my hand up a while ago after when Marika was talking about the various outcomes of sub-teams that we've had, and I think one of the things that it perhaps is important to say, certainly from my perspective, is there's no way to predict ahead of time which of those outcomes it's going to be. And we've had some occur in combination. We've had sub-teams that worked really hard and, you know, thought they considered everything, and then when it went back to the major team, they either completely ignored the work or decided tacitly, although I don't think they ever consciously said it, to do it over again. So it's a grab bag. It's one of the things that we have not refined to a science yet.
Good leadership helps, though, Alan.
It does, but that doesn't guarantee the committee as a whole accepts the outcomes afterwards.
No, that's good communication.
Yeah. And I think that's an important point, too, that utilizing sub-teams to prepare drafts and such does not mean that work would be carried out in a vacuum. And, in fact, I think for the work group as a whole, you know, determining how we want to relate the work of the working group as a whole to having these teams go out there, I sort of view it as we need something. Who is going to go out there and bring water back so that we can drink it? And the sub-team would be the group going out and getting the water, but then it's useless until we all drink it together. So, Maureen?
Yes, thanks. I wanted to make a comment on your approach, which is focusing on the deliverables rather than the questions. And I do agree with that approach. I think it brings the questions into a tighter focus. And in fact, by focusing on the deliverables and working through them in the way that you've suggested, it begins to inform the answers to the questions. I think it's the right way to do it. Some work I've done recently in other sectors has been exactly the opposite, and we've worked on questions, and it has become very muddied and very circular. So I think that this approach that you've sketched out is the most effective. So I just want to put my vote in for that one.
Thank you. And I think what you just said, you know, and it's similar to going on without limited definitions, that the questions can lead to wonderful discussions, but if you don't have an eye on what it is that you're trying to produce, the end question, the end result, you get off the track. Other questions or comments at this point? Certainly, any insight that anyone might have after you've had a chance to digest some of these materials outside of this meeting, we on the sub-team would really appreciate receiving, because you know, our goal is to produce a draft work plan and questions that we still have, so that at the meeting in Buenos Aires, they can really be hashed through and clarified, at least as a starting point. And again, I think the work on the definitions will be very important towards that, and I don't know if we want to hate to form a sub-team at the very outset, but that might be a useful exercise, Chuck, to have certain people who would want to search the ICANN vaults for definitions that might be proposed at Buenos Aires for further discussion, rather than just having the words out there?
Michael, this is Chuck. Actually, I think that's a good idea. Mm. Does anybody object to forming a sub-team to start focusing on the definitions task? If so, you know, put "you disagree" in the chat or speak up. I see Amer has his hand up, and then I saw Alan's come up. Oh, I see agreement there. Okay.
They're all ticks. They're green
ticks. They're
ticks.
Thank you, Cheryl, for keeping me straight. You're good at that. And Marie has done it, so thank you very much. I don't see any disagreement. So here's the real test. Who would like to volunteer to do that, to start that?
Go on, Alan.
Alan, looks like Alan's volunteering. Is that it? And Amer, you're volunteering?
Chuck, it's Alan.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you're looking for someone to chair it, I have very strong opinions. I may not be the best chair unless you like opinionated chairs.
Well, this is Chuck again. I don't mind opinionated chairs as long as they're clear when they're giving their opinions and they respect the opinions of others. And I think you've demonstrated over the years that you're able to do that.
I understand, but some people really like impartial chairs, and I wouldn't be that in this case.
Okay. Thank you. Is there someone that would be willing to lead this group, this little sub-team?
Maureen, yeah, sure. Canada.
Maureen? Is that from before, or is that a new hand?
Maureen. Sorry, that's an old hand.
That's what I thought. Okay.
If no one else volunteers, I would volunteer to help that group.
Very good. Well, it'd be helpful to have several people on it. Are you volunteering to be the coordinator, the lead of that?
Yes.
I'm good at putting people on the spot.
You certainly are. Yes, with some help, of course. Thanks.
Okay, sure. Well, I think there will be several people. So we have Maureen and Alan. Would anybody else like to volunteer on this? And Marika and Mary, if we can send out a request to the list to see if there are any other volunteers. Michael, I see your hand up. Are you volunteering or just have a comment?
No, I'll volunteer as long as I don't have to chair. I already have some definitions out here, so yeah. I bring them in.
This is Chuck. I think it is good to spread the workload around, so that's great. So we have three volunteers so far. Let's put out a request to the list. I wouldn't be disappointed if there was just three, but we should welcome others to join.
Chuck, it's Alan. My hand was up as a hand, not a volunteer.
Oh, well, you don't want to have an opportunity for your opinions to be shared in a non-leadership capacity?
In a non-leadership capacity.
No, I originally put my hand up to make a comment before you started asking.
I will let you do that.
I will let you do that.
Whoa.
Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah, sorry about that interference. Alan, go ahead and make your comment.
Alan, go ahead and make your comment.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want to.
Yeah, just a
okay,
second, Alan.
There's no echo now.
Mute your phones, please, because we're obviously getting at some time some echo and interference there. So my apologies, Alan. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I've lost track now who said it, but someone said we should go into the ICANN vault and try to find definitions for some of these terms. If ICANN had definitions for some of these terms, we wouldn't be in this situation we are in today. So just, it may not be worth looking too hard, because I don't think anyone's bothered to think about defining these terms until now.
Thank you, Alan. This is Chuck. Now, I do believe, though, that there are some that are there. Like, for example, in the GNSO Working Group Guidelines, there's at least a definition there. Whether it works for us or not, we'll have to determine on the term consensus.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, yes. But I was talking about the definitions that we're using, the substantive definitions of policy implementation and things relating to that.
Right.
So,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Chuck again. Did I miss another volunteer for that group? There were some things popping up there. If so, Wolf, did you want to speak, or are you volunteering?
I'm going to volunteer, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Amer, are you volunteering?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, I really appreciate the quick response on that. And Maureen will kind of take the lead role, but I expect all of you to help her on that, and hopefully you can do a lot of that on some email exchanges. Maureen, please let staff know if you would like a little list for that so we can facilitate that. Now, in the intent of keeping this agenda moving, and I think our next items are less time consuming, let's jump to agenda item 3, which is the outreach letter to the GAC. Now, I sent that out yesterday, mm-hmm. and I think it didn't go to the full working group at first, but it did I think yesterday before the day was out, at least for me. I made some edits to the base letter we sent to the other ACs and the SOs. And Maureen already provided some suggestions on that. Maureen, would you share those, and let's give people an opportunity to comment on that.
Yeah, sure. I just have to pull that up. At the beginning, where you talk about the code, sorry, I'm just going to check my notes here. Yeah, where you're talking about the ICANN code, and you pull out some specific examples. I wondered if it would be more neutral to leave them out. That was the first point. The second one, sorry, I'll just be a sec here. I've forgotten what I said in the second one. Do you have it in front of you, Chuck?
I think I do if I pull up the right paper.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find is the right email. Here we go.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I'll just be a second.
That's okay.
Okay, the second part was point 5B, and you used the word flavors, which I think is an English language descriptor, and it might be better understood by everyone in the GAC who will be reading the letter or be seeing the letter if that point contained either a brief explanation of what is made by flavors or if it's a term that's been used in the past, perhaps just a reference to where it was used and the meaning is intended. So really it's just a clarification. Thanks.
Thanks, Maureen. This is Chuck again. Do you have maybe another word that might be better?
I'll have to think about it. I'll see if I can get back to you with one.
Okay. Thank you. Are there, with regard to the first suggestion by Maureen in taking out the examples, does anybody disagree with that? Okay, so I think that edit is okay. So if we can just come up with another way, or if somebody has a suggestion to reword 5B without using the word flavors, that would certainly be entertained. So let's see if we can come up with something there. Now, while people are thinking on that, are there any other suggested edits or things that should be added or taken out in the letter as it stands right now? And while you're thinking, oh, there I see a hand up. Wolf.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. Wolf speaking. So I think I sent it out short before the meeting. Just also a one sentence. That is his second big paragraph, starting with as part of the effort. So we are expressing that we would like to ask the GAC to gain input from the GAC to assist us in our efforts. So I got a feeling it would be a little bit more stronger, and if we ask for support us in our efforts, rather than asking for the GAC for assistance, which from from my understanding from language, is assistance means, okay, so you are my assistant. So that's my understanding in that. So just that was the reason why I was thinking about of support in this regard.
Thank you, Wolf, and I just pulled up your email because it came in while I got it either very shortly before this meeting when I was on another meeting or something, but thanks. It is an email for the working group if you haven't seen the suggestions. Anybody disagree with Wolf on the use of the word support rather than assistance?
Oh, good.
Yeah, it seems fine to me. Let me get back over to the... I'm looking at my email right now. Let me get back over and look for Hans. I don't see anybody disagreeing with that. And he also suggested that we change policy or implementation to policy and implementation in any cases that that occurs. So that's a pretty straightforward one, and that was a change that occurred in the GNSO, and Wolf is very aware of that. So thank you, Wolf, for that. So... anybody else have any edits or suggested changes, additions, deletions with regard to the letter? I would like to get this out as soon as possible so that we give the GAC as much lead time as possible, and I see Marika's hand.
Yeah, this is Marika. This is just a note that Nick Steinbach also sent a suggestion. I see he's on the call, but I'm not sure if he's on the audio, but he also sent a suggestion by email. The suggestion is that...
Oh, there it is. I see it. Go ahead.
Yes, to change the sentence as part of the effort the working group wants to reach out at the beginning of our efforts to the GAC to gain input to assist us in our efforts. So I think he's suggesting to use a little bit of less effort in the sentence, and he's suggesting to change that to, from the onset of this process, the working group would like to gain input from the GAC to assist us in our efforts. And maybe one thing I wanted to note as well, because one of the references to policy versus implementation actually refers to the title of our discussion paper, at which time we still were actually referring to it as versus. I mean, I have no problem in changing it, but it's just that the title of that actual paper does refer to the versus instead of the and, as we're using for the working group.
Yeah, this is Chuck, and we probably should keep the title correct as it was written. In other cases, though, in generic use, I think Wolf change is good. So a question for Mary and Marika. Can one of you take the responsibility for making these changes in the letter?
Yes, this is Marika. Yeah. That's fine. Although I think we haven't seen any suggestions on the flavors word, how to change that.
Yeah. So let's see if we can come up with one of those fairly quickly here on the call. Those of you that want to get to end early, if you could come up with a good suggestion there, that would help. Again, putting you on the spot. With regard to that, my suggestion for either Marika or Mary, whichever one of you does it, if you could accept the changes, the red lines that are in there now, and then do a red line of the changes that we made as a result of our call today and the email input that we've received, that would probably help all of us to keep track of what we did today.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. And then what we'll do is we'll just send out that red line version shortly after this meeting and for one final look, and hopefully by the end of the week we can actually send that to the GAC. So let's see how that goes. And then Marika and Mary, you can coordinate with. We can coordinate together in terms of going ahead and sending that out and so forth. So any other input on the letter? No ideas on flavors. Let's do this on that rather than belaboring it here. If everybody give that some thought, and if you can before your day's out today, and some of you probably that's already the case, if you can maybe propose a suggestion there that we can use. Otherwise, we probably should come up with another alternative, like Maureen suggested, is to provide an explanation of what we mean by that. So if you have some suggestions there,
Chuck,
it would be very much appreciated. Yes.
Chuck, it's Alan. I'm not at my computer right now.
Okay.
the word types is has a similar meaning, but it doesn't have quite the same depth. So I really don't know a better word. But, you know, you can probably, again, I don't see the letter in front of me right now, but you can probably substitute types, but it does. I don't think it has the same real impact and meaning. Thank you.
Well, if we don't come up with if we don't come up with a better word than types, my inclination would be to go with that instead of flavors, but let's see what Marika has to say.
Well, or define flavors.
This is Rick. I'm just echoing what people are suggesting in the chat. The word variations has been suggested by Maureen, and I think several people have indicated that they like that term.
Alan, let me put you on the spot. You think variations is has a little more depth than types?
Variation is much better than types.
Okay. Well, let's go with that, barring no better suggestions to come in, and then we'll have a new red line that we can distribute later today, and then try and get that letter out by Friday to the GAC. Moving on to the Buenos Aires meeting planning agenda, and the main issue, we don't need to worry too much about the specifics of the agenda today. We'll work more on that in our coming meetings, but let's talk about timing. Marika sent out a message on that today. I did a little response to it in terms of my own personal needs there. And a few people have responded on the list. One comment that I thought was really good was that we're better off doing it at a time when more people might be able to participate, although keep in mind that there's conflicts at both times. So we don't know whether that'll be the case, but it's pretty much going to assume that early morning meetings won't be well attended. So that would lead us to trying to schedule a session from 4:30 to 6 on that same day. What do people think about that? Any comments? Does somebody prefer one of the other options? And I'd throw it open to totally different suggestions, but the problem with that is the scheduling is so complicated and there are so many complications that I don't think that's a wise thing to do. So I would restrict it to the options we have right now unless staff thinks there's another good one somewhere else. Okay. Does anybody have any strong objections to trying to change it from 4:30 to 6? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that, of course, this is also tentative. I mean, the information I've provided here is on what I've received earlier this week, and I'm sure others are making changes at the moment as well. So I'll make sure to keep a close eye on what, you know, the different moving parts are. And you know, I'll keep the chairs informed as well if things change. But I just want to make sure that the working group is aware that this is not final yet, so things may change further. And there may be a scenario as well, if indeed we move our session, that in the end we may be in a worse position because certain other sessions have moved. But we'll do our best as we move forward in the scheduling process.
Thank you, Marika. That's a very good point. And for those of us that have been involved in scheduling in the past, know that that's a very true statement. So we can't assume that it'll be this way. But my suggestion, barring other comments, that this may be the way to go. But let me listen to Wolf first.
Thanks, Chuck. Wolf speaking. Just a question, Marika. Is it clear that that the council meeting is finished at that time already?
This is Marika. Basically, the way it's currently scheduled is that the council meeting, let me just pull it up, is going to have a two-hour meeting in the main meeting room from
1 to 3.
1 to 3, and then there's as well an administrative meeting that will follow after that from 3 to 4:30. So it would basically be immediately after the end of that meeting.
Okay, good.
Thank you for that. This is Chuck again. I don't see any other hands. So, anything else that Marika, that we need to cover on the Buenos Aires meeting for now?
This is Marika. No, I think the only thing that may be helpful if maybe people can send an email, you know, not to the list, but they can send it to me, and I can, you know, keep a tally of who's actually planning to be in Buenos Aires and who's planning to participate remotely and who's not planning to participate at all, so we have a bit of an idea of how many members we can expect to receive during the meeting.
And it'd be a good idea to send out that request to the list so that those that are not on the call can be respond as well, and probably facilitates it even for those of us who are on the call. So let's do it
yes.
that way. Okay?
Yes,
and you can reply to just Marika instead of the whole list if you want, but it's probably good that go out to the whole list. Thanks, Marika. That's helpful. Okay, the last agenda item. Note that our next note Marika's note. Okay, sorry about that. On agenda item 5, because we're going to have some time confusion because Europe goes on daylight savings time, I think a week before here in U.S. and Canada do. So please be aware. Unless there are objections to that, we will keep the time as the same we have, and then we will all be in the back in sync. I think Marika, do you want to describe that your note there?
Yeah, this is Marika. Yeah, as Chuck said, there will be the meeting on the 30th is the 1 week where Europe and the U.S. and some other countries that end daylight saving will be out of sync, basically. So the proposed approach is to actually leave the UTC for that meeting at the same time as it currently is, which means that for those in the U.S. and those countries that are not changing yet or ending their daylight savings yet, will remain at the same time as currently is, but for those that are in Europe or are switching to or ending their daylight savings in the week before, the call will be an hour earlier. Then basically in the next meeting on the 13th of November, we would actually change the UTC time, so then at that point for everyone the call will be back to normal, although I see Cheryl's hand up. I think it may affect, I guess, participants in Australia who don't have daylight savings, so I'll let Cheryl comment to see if that actually works for them.
Thank you, Marika. And Cheryl, are you going to tell us Australia is?
I'd be very happy to tell you all a few things, yes. Cheryl Langdonore here. First of all, Australia does have daylight saving time, and for the last 10 days, we have been in it, which means my time and everyone in this area, unless you happen to be in Queensland, have already switched forward an hour. So I'm a great one for just leave UTC time at UTC time, and we will deal with our little variations of summer and not summer times locally. I would more than happy just to leave UTC time, and that's it, because For me, I'm already an hour later and have been for...
And so what you're suggesting, Cheryl, this is Chuck...
Leave UTC.
And not change it on the 30th.
Correct.
Is that correct? Does anybody object to that? Marika, your hand's still up?
Yeah, this is Marika. Changing the UTC or not changing UTC basically means that the hour of the call changes. So
yes,
that may affect participation.
It already is for me anyway, yeah.
Well, it's only for, you know, for the Americans, for example, they wouldn't change. So basically it would change the hour of the call, and that may affect participation. So the main reason for changing UTC is that actually for most people it would just stay at the same time as they're currently used to, and as they indicated at the start of our working group process, that was the time that would work best for them.
But this is Chuck. Let me make sure I understand. So the change in UTC would still be the same?
No. Basically, well, on the 30th, yes. But I think Charlotte's suggesting that we actually leave the UTC at the same time following that on the 13th of November. But because many countries will have changed at that time, in effect, it will mean, I think, that for most people, the call will be an hour earlier if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's correct.
So the question is, does that significantly affect participation, as when we originally did the doodle poll for this meeting, that was the time that was selected as working for most people, and maybe changing an hour may affect participation or affect other calls. I know,
okay,
for example, it would conflict with an internal call that we have that takes place, that we are moving the UTC time.
Okay, let me make sure I'm clear. This is Chuck. So right now our time is 1900 UTC. What would it be on the 13th in UTC?
On the 30th, we would leave the UTC at the same time, and that would affect... Yes.
13.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. Okay. And that's what you were suggesting, Cheryl. So that's helpful.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sorry, Cheryl here. The following meeting, it will then change. Marika's saying that on the following meeting, it won't be 1900 UTC, it'll be 1800 UTC.
Okay, I missed that.
That's the second part of her proposal. And
what were you suggesting, Cheryl?
Leave it alone at 1900 UTC.
That's what I thought.
Cheryl, I think it actually moves into 20 UTC.
Well, even 20. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, and Cheryl, does your suggestion remain there? And I...
Well, I'm a minority, and I'm already 2 hours out, so let's stick with the Northern Hemisphere biases,
okay,
which is hardly unusual, Chuck.
All right, I was open to, but okay, all right. And people wanted to end this early if we can. Is there anything else before I adjourn this meeting? Okay, not seeing any or hearing anything. I want to thank you all for your participation. I think it's been a productive meeting. Thanks again to the sub-team that's doing the extra work on the plan, and also to the new volunteers on the definitions. Have a good rest of the day and a good rest of the week. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Chuck.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.